Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Here's my glove.
What he really wants to know is if you could work with him a little bit, maybe in some ground balls.
I'm not saying he's an idiot.
Yeah, can I come out there like beforehand? What is it, a fungo thingy? What is that thing?
Does Fourier have the attention span for a 3.5 hour baseball game?
Yeah. I saw a bear swimming in a pool today.
Samoa starts on one side. They start doing their haka. Birdhouses. But he doesn't call them birdhouses.
No.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
Are you worried that Jalen kind of put a target on you guys a little bit by speaking out?
I saw that you felt like you had to apologize on Twitter. Don't apologize, Jason. That was freaking, I mean, Jalen, that was freaking phenomenal.
I don't apologize for, you know, what I said. I have belief in my teammates, and I have belief in this team.
Does that motivate you, bro?
It does, and it doesn't.
That was trick, 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 trick.
I have happened to...
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
Trick question. You're trying to get me to say something.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we continue with the Red Sox. We'll get into this Patriots stuff in just a couple of minutes because Jalen Ramsey can't help himself. Great, great player, but he just can't help himself.
That's what the great players do.
Yeah, let's go to Nick. Nick's in Rhode Island. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Nick.
Thanks for having me on air.
What's up?
Appreciate it. So I just wanted to give a quick defense of knuckleballers. Okay. Everyone has this ridiculous attentional bias where they see a knuckleballer because it's different, mess up or do something, we have a wild pitch or whatever. Oh, there it is. That's why we can't trust it. Everyone loves these flamethrowers who throw 100 miles an hour and blow their arms out. But how quickly we forget that Stephen Wright has been pretty reliable over the past few years when he's been healthy.
Yes.
Put that out there.
Nobody.
Can't.
No, Nick, you don't have to go there. I mean, that's the reason why I told you. I mean, I honestly feel after all the talk about how great this bullpen is and how nobody's better in the trademark, it's going to be Stephen Wright and Nathan Eovaldi, two guys that aren't in this pen. You know, I don't know about solely in the eighth, but I in a playoff game, I tell you what, game four in particular, say Rick Porcello's out there, you might see Stephen Wright in the third, fourth inning. And he might give you three or four innings. You know, if a game goes five, I'd put his ass out there for the sixth and the seventh. So, I mean, I think he's going to have a huge role in this postseason.
It's not what he tried him out for last night.
Last
he brought
night
him
year.
In the eighth inning in a 1-0 game, Lou.
When he's been healthy the last two or three years, he's been really good.
I think that shows a lot of trust, too, that Cora put him in that situation and stuck with him.
Yeah, but putting him in a game like that, you know, that's a really a meaningless game. You know, it's not nearly quite the same stress. Right? Or consequences.
It's a slight notch above spring training.
Yeah, it's just I mean, really, it kind of is because spring training, you're trying out some new things. You're kind of, you know, let me see. Maybe I'll take one more deep breath.
You say that, and I would agree, but personally, there is because he knows why he's out there in the eighth. He knows it. He knows he's out there.
It's an audition. He's fighting for a job.
Because he might be pitching high leverage spots. So now all of a sudden, there's a little bit of heat on him. Like the other night, when out of nowhere, like Brian Johnson comes in to face a lefty. He knows why. Because they want to see him, you know, lefty on lefty matchup. There's maybe a need for a lefty. When Bobby Pointer comes in a meaningless game and it's 5-1, whatever it might be, I expect you to get that lefty out. If you walk him or give up a bomb, I pull your ass out of the game. And you know that ain't good for you.
He brought that up yesterday about not having a lefty out of that that bullpen, Lou. Bobby Pointer might make this. He might make this postseason.
He might
roster.
Have the matchup calls for it.
That's right. You could tell it. Do they carry an extra pitcher maybe in this because they really don't have anybody? They don't have a set bullpen rotation. Well, so maybe you carry an extra pitcher.
Think the interesting part is I heard your guys earlier talking about it, and they're absolutely right. You know, you talk about situations in games yesterday with Alex, and he's like he's looking for certain situations to try to not only give guys opportunities to audition, but also give himself opportunities strategy-wise as a manager or a bench coach. Last night might have made a decision to carry three catchers. Because, again, Sandy Leon, he's great with these starting pitchers, and here he is in the fifth inning, first and third, one out. That was a moment where Alex said, you know, if we face this spot, tie game in game two or one of the playoffs, what should I do? Do I leave Sandy Leon in, knowing that I'm probably only going to get another inning out of my starting pitcher, you know, just so we can catch him for one inning? or do I pinch hit for his ass right now? Because Blake Swihart's been pretty good pinch hitting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or do I pinch
it's
hit
been
for
very
him?
Good.
And then put Swihart behind the dish, and now I need Vasquez. So the next two or three weeks, you're looking for situations is, why do guys fit on this roster? And last night might have been a situation, first and third, one out, whatever, Leon up saying, okay, come playoff time. I can't let him hit. So if I don't want to let him hit and that situation comes up again, well, I might need three catchers.
Okay, so look at your numbers. If you're adding an extra pitcher because he may have to for situational stuff because he doesn't have a set rotation, then who's off? Brandon Phillips obviously is off the postseason roster. Is Devers off the postseason roster as well?
Devers looks like he's really fighting it. Like, just fighting it. Defensively, even when he makes plays, even like a pop-up yesterday, kind of almost popped out of his glove in foul territory. Yeah. Like at the plate, he looks like a guy that's starting to lose confidence in himself, and I wouldn't be shocked if they leave him off.
Well, especially with the scenario that you just brought up, because Swihart can give you that bat late in the game, but you gotta find a spot.
You gotta find room for Brandon Phillips. Is who you gotta find room for. The lean back man.
I'm not sure he's gonna make it either. If you're adding an extra pitcher and you're carrying three catchers,
is that unheard of though?
What unheard of?
Three catchers. I mean, I know Swihart.
Swihart's
kind
of ideal. It's not.
I mean, Swihart can play more than just. Like, Vasquez isn't playing anything but catcher. Leon isn't playing anything but catcher. Swihart can play first. He can play left.
Yeah, but he's been great pinch hitting for
you. Yeah, but
if you're going to, I would say two, and it's between Vasquez and Swihart.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you look at your team, I think you got to evaluate where's the soft spot here. Like, where's the concern? You know, the outfield, there's no concern. Certainly not going to pinch hit for a DH. The infield, you know, at first base, you already got that covered. You know Steve Pearson and Brock Holt are going to be on this roster. You know, even though if he puts Swihart, he can do it there. So you're covered everywhere. Where am I weak? Catcher.
Okay,
but I may have to pinch hit for these guys.
But Leon is who he is, and you love him for being able to be a catcher. But you know, you're not going
to
get anything.
You're going to have to pinch hit for him late in the
game. That's fine. I know, but when I hear three catchers, I feel like, you know, Vasquez and Swihart, it's kind of redundant. Like, what does one have that the other one doesn't?
But it isn't. If Swihart, if you view Swihart as a guy who is very capable of getting a hit coming off the bench, then sudden. But it does mean a Devers. It means certainly
no,
a Phillips.
But my point is,
you
don't need three, right?
You might.
You do need three. Tony and Bridgewater.
Why would you need three?
I just
hold on, Tony.
I didn't listen.
You didn't listen. Tony's in Bridgewater. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
You know, Glenn, seriously, you got to listen to Lou a little bit more closely.
Okay, I will try.
This isn't 15 years ago in baseball.
Right.
If you remember 2003 Red Sox bullpen, Kimblin, Embry, remember that? Jones, Fox, remember that? Williamson, remember that group?
Yes, it was awful out of the gate.
Until late September.
Right.
Brady Little lost his job because he had a flashback and he let Pedro in. You don't pigeonhole a guy.
Who's living in the past right now? This is 2018. Talk about 2018 for me.
Glenn, you don't pigeonhole a guy in a seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning. You don't, maybe the ninth, but you go with matchups, okay?
Correct.
There's been nothing wrong with Wright and Eovaldi as far as coming out of the box. I trust
When do you want Wright out of the bullpen?
Did you watch the game Sunday night against Houston?
Yes.
He had a broken bat double off him, and he pitched two innings and an error on the third baseman.
Right. How about last night? Do you like him in the eighth inning?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I like him.
Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, Tony. Hold on, Tony. First two batters get on base against Stephen Wright last night. You know what happens? You know what happens in the playoffs? He's out. They were experimenting. They gave him the rope last night because they wanted to experiment and see what he could do. He's out. He never gets the reclamation of getting out of that inning.
Eighth inning's tough, Tony.
Listen to Lou.
No,
Tony, listen to Lou.
I'm just saying, like, I've said this consistent with Stephen Wright. I think he's going to have a huge role. I just think it's going to be that sixth inning and sixth and seventh.
No, I agree with you, but when you
you don't. You just said the eighth inning.
When you have three guys like Embry, Kelly, Bonds, they're all the same. Mid-90s stuff, secondary stuff is weak. They're all the same. When you come in, you can't game plan for a guy like Wright. I like him in the spot.
Tony, wait a minute. You're confusing the argument here.
I like
him right now. And by the way, you need him because you don't have enough and you don't have that different look out of the bullpen. I don't like him in the eighth.
Did you see what Houston did last year? in the World Series?
Yes.
They didn't win that World Series because of their bullpen. They had Morton going before. They didn't trust their bullpen. This year...
Well, Verlander, I think, had something to do with what they did in the postseason last year. A little.
Glenn,
the eighth inning.
I don't like
starters. I don't like
Randy
Morton,
eighth inning. McCullough, yes. Yeah. They want the starters.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't knuckleballers.
It's just the same come playoff time. Okay. It's all hands on deck.
Okay, I just don't like him in the eighth inning.
You
like him in the eighth inning.
You're talking
about,
like,
I like him.
He mentioned yesterday, he said, you know, we might have a position for a lefty. To me, the only reason why you throw one of these lefties up there, I think they're all questionable, and Pointer might be the guy, although I don't know. Well, he just went on like a four-month hiatus, is against Cleveland, and that's it.
Right.
New York, who are you worried about? Gregorius? He's just as good against lefties. The numbers aren't that bad. Oakland. So that's the first two series, right? New York or Oakland. So it's D.D., Gardner. You know, and then you got out in Oakland. I don't even know if they got Piscotty. I don't even know. They don't have, like, Lowry is like a switch. So there's no, but when you play Cleveland, yeah, now you got some thump, especially from the left side. You want to flip those guys over to the right side, you know, and Ramirez and Lindor. So against the Indians, you might need that lefty, but that's it. Houston, Josh Reddick, they're all righties.
I think he's carrying an extra pitcher, though. I think he has to because he does not have slotted guys, and he needs situational guys.
I don't think he will. Not in the first round.
Okay.
Not in the first round.
All right, Jay's in Connecticut. Hi, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jay.
Hey, you know, first of all, Wright would scare the hell out of me in the eighth inning. I mean, I know he came in last night, but again, they're 10 games up, so that didn't really surprise me that much. And if he's going to come in, I agree, he's going to come in like the sixth, and if he does well, maybe he'll go in the seventh. But how come no one's talking about E-Rod going to the pen?
Because he's
You're
too good.
You need a fourth starter. Nah, you know what? They said this. David Wright was unbelievable last year in the pen, and I think that E-Rod would be fabulous because then he's now your left-handed eighth-inning guy. You got Wright. I don't know why, but if everybody's healthy, they're not going to need four starters.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, they'll need four.
What you want? So you want to go game one on 3 days rest?
If he's healthy, why not? You can't say he's going to be tired. He's just had like the last how many weeks? Yes, absolutely.
Other than the fact that it never works.
Well, listen.
It never works.
In the pen,
no, I'm just saying, Jay. Like, say, Jay, some of like Cy Young Award winners, the best pitchers in the game at the time that are grooving. Like, you try to throw them out there on 3 days rest, and it rarely works.
Okay, so then go this. If you love Stephen Wright so much, which you just said you did, then he's your game. Then he's a starter.
No, Porcello's your game four starter.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
So you got Sales, Price, Porcello. Is that what you're saying?
Sale, Price, E-Rod. Porcello. Because Porcello's wins this year, you know, his ERA is like a 2. In his losses, his ERA is a 9.
You know right off the bat, too.
It's
you
it's,
can tell
it's
whether
black
he's
or white.
Or not.
I mean, you see
whether
it right away.
Ball's dropping.
You see it right away. And if it's not his night, then here comes Wright.
Yep. God
that
forbid,
ball comes up here and good night.
You put him out there and there's men on base and that ball hits the dirt. It goes behind the catcher and you are screwed.
And you're gonna have a quicker hook when you get to the postseason. Listen, you need the 4-man rotation. And I think what he's trying to get around is as the series progresses on, and we always know that, especially in the Northeast, you'll get some bad weather in October. You get, you know, a postponed game. They won't start these games if they think there's any chance of any rain. So you might buy some time, and then you can kind of screw around with that fourth guy or that third guy and use him a little bit around in relief. But you have to have four to begin with. Nate's in Boston on OMF. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
I think that for these boys, I think you just turn them loose. I don't think you mess with anything that's going on in the locker room. I don't think you send one of the catchers home. I think you're bringing a new pitcher, and I really think these guys are doing.
You're playing with 40 guys right now, Nate. You got a 40-man roster right now. You got to whittle it down and have a playoff roster. All these guys that you're seeing right now can't play.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is you take the guy that means the least to what's going right in that locker room right now, what's going right the least, and you turn him loose, but I don't think it's – I mean, you guys have talked before. They like Vasquez in that locker room. And I don't think you send one of those guys home.
So you think they go with three catchers?
I do.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
See, maybe we should break.
Go ahead. Make your point.
No, I guess my point is it just feels redundant to have Swihart.
It's because
you're going
to pinch
hit. You have to.
Because you're going to pinch hit or pinch run. You've got to get him out of the game.
Yeah.
Leon's just trying to catch it. The guy's got one hit since April.
So I get it with Leon. Like, he stays, right? He's a given. Yes. He's not going anywhere.
He's a given.
Okay, but as far as Swihart and Vasquez, aren't they basically the same guy?
No. Yeah, but I'm a little worried because it seems like, you know.
So that's my point. Why have them both?
Well, no, they're not, though. Vasquez, what does Vasquez do?
He catches and he throws people out.
Apparently, he catches E-Rub. He doesn't throw people out as well as Swihart does, and hasn't all year long. Swihart's a better catcher
right now. Which is pretty amazing.
So why waste a spot for him if Swihart's a better player?
Because he's been catching E-Rub, which I'm not happy about. Swihart's caught twice now since August 28th, and I don't know why. Since Vasquez came back, now he gets E-Rod. I want to see Swihart back there with E-Rod.
Yeah, wasn't Swihart the first guy that E-Rod threw to when he came back off his injury?
I think it was Vasquez.
You're probably right.
See, the problem you have with Leon. The problem you have with Leon, if you're late in the game,
I know what the problem is.
It's
with Leon.
The eighth inning.
Big fella.
You got a pinch hit.
Little Earl. Yeah. I get it.
You got a pinch hit.
I get it, Little Earl.
So do you see why you need three?
I get it,
Little
Earl.
You need three catches.
We need three guys right here.
Three guys right here.
Go ahead. Take a break.
Want to take a break?
Yes.
Jalen Ramsey can't help himself. So you would think he would stop talking now. Nope. He picked up today where he left off yesterday.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, you heard the stuff, read the stuff. Jalen Ramsey can't help himself. Ran down an entire roster of every quarterback in the league. This one sucks. This one's not so good. This one's this. This one doesn't suck. That was Tom Brady. That was the best. So that was a compliment. He doesn't suck. Oh, okay. And then we saw all the stuff with Gronk, and he threw it out there and even backed it up with, like, statistics. Analytics breaking down what Gronk does against quarterbacks.
Let's just say he didn't get into a lot of detail, though, when it comes to the analytics. What he did is have one of his do boys, one of his runners, his gophers, go find some information that helped him, which helped his narrative, which helped his agenda.
Sort of what you do every day here.
Not even close. I don't have anybody in analytics.
What are you talking about?
Your whole
David Price thing.
I like it though. I like the way he goes about his business, because then he found the information and it made his point, so he brought it up. If it didn't make his point, he would just let it go.
That's how we all are.
That's how you work. Use numbers to make your argument.
He's got that
beautiful.
Down. So today, the media is not going to stop this. They're going to ask him because he opened up the gates, and it's not going to close because it's too good a story. So today, Jalen Ramsey met with the media, and again, they talked about Gronk.
I asked your defensive coordinator, if someone says Rob Gronkowski is overrated, what would you say to that person? He said, he's crazy.
Might be crazy. I don't care.
People call him the best ever, and you're not going there. You're saying, I guess he's
good. He good now. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but you saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something?
Yeah.
Like, all right then. I don't fear no man. Period. So he gonna have to come out there and line up on me,
ooh,
or however it goes. I mean, he gotta play us this year, so.
God damn, that boy can sing.
He must be crazy.
He good.
He good.
He good now.
He must be crazy.
He good and terrible.
He's good and terrible.
So you know what's happening here with Jalen Ramsey?
I fear no man.
He's got himself into this mess, and he wants no more of it. He does not want to deal with it anymore, but he knows he has to because they're still throwing it his way, right? But you can tell he's not. He's no longer invested in this.
No. I think he is.
You do?
I think guys like him kind of need it. You know, because here's what ESPN is doing, and I probably need to go back and look at that last game and actually see how many times Jalen Ramsey actually lined up over Gronk, not in some sort of weird zone, you know, defense, you know, shell coverage where, you know, they're trying to, you know, whatever. How many times? Because the one clip ESPN keeps showing is the one time I believe that Jalen Ramsey actually followed Gronk. Not like lined up on him, but maybe had him as some sort of rover or some sort of, you know, spy or something like that. But otherwise, I don't know how much they're going to see
Gronk
each other.
Lined up?
I didn't see it. That's why I said I had to go back and look at it because they keep showing the same clip over and over again. There's the one where he's following him, Jalen Ramsey. The ball must have been thrown incomplete to somebody else. because Jalen Ramsey is, you know, chirping and going crazy. And the other time, Gronk caught a pass and Jalen Ramsey hit him, but that was zone coverage.
He wasn't terrible.
But that wasn't.
If they play Gronk on the line, he can't cover him.
As a tight end, like right next to the tackle? I don't see why he would.
He couldn't.
If he flexes out, but then you're going to run at him.
That's what I'm
saying.
Because
what, are you going to have a Sam linebacker and a corner in the same area? No, somebody's got to leave the area because that means somebody else is wide ass open. So I just don't, and maybe that's the way you attack him and force Jalen Ramsey to cover one of the lesser known commodities, you know, the Chris Hogan's of the world. Right, chew him up. Hey, listen, we're not going to throw Chris Hogan anyways.
Let me ask you.
So go ahead.
Let me give you a little scenario. All right, Brady's under center. You get two to the right. You get
55.
Yeah, you get
55.
He's got two wide left. All right,
check orange.
Let me get through it. And Gronk wide right. I'm just saying. And Gronk is out there at wide right, and you get two on the left.
Yeah.
And Ramsey's covering him because he's 1-on-1 on the outside over there. And then, you know, pre-snap, he calls him off to the line. What's Ramsey doing? Because the two defenders are way on the other side. Is he going to come on the line with him?
Well, if he's the only person, he would be basically what you would call support. He would be that last line of defense. He wouldn't stay out there. He wouldn't go back because he's basically an edge defender.
In.
Well, yeah, but you would still have another linebacker or some sort of strong safety taking that gap. It would have to be a weird, funky lineup and for him to be able to do that, because if that was the case, he would just bail back and the linebacker would shade over. So that, but I will say this, if there's a 3-by-1 or really it would have to be a 3-by-1 and Gronk is a solo receiver, like he would be the X all by himself, I can see Jalen Ramsey going out there because if you give him all that space and you're going to put, I don't care, any linebacker on your squad, it's too much room for him to maneuver, too much room for him to make cuts and use leverage and push off.
As quick as these guys are, you're right.
Well, yeah, because what are you going to do? So you give him all that space inside, all this inside move. So all they're going to do is they're going to run a slant.
Yeah.
So he's going to go inside release, stem it up the field, and then he's going to lean on him and break off of it. So, you know, then we'll see what he is. Or, you know, take him deep.
Can I just say for our own selfish purpose, I hope that Doug Marrone does puts Ramsey for a while on Gronk.
It'd be
fun. For our own selfish reason. Because there'll be body language back and forth.
He'll throw him out of the club.
Right. Right.
Gronk only played. He got knocked out of the game at the end of the second quarter.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't even know how many. He was a non-factor in the game, yes, but everybody on that team, that offense, was a non-factor. The offense didn't start moving the ball consistently until the second half, and there was a bunch of trick plays and, you know, misdirection and big catches by Amendola and Brandon Cooks.
See, that's the thing. So in the spirit of Richard Sherman's ice up, right, Ramsey could have went there too about Gronk. I don't know. He got knocked out last game.
Yeah. That's
you know what I mean? I'm surprised he hasn't been gone there yet. You know, what do you think is going to be the defender? Well, I don't know. The one time I could, he got knocked out.
Wouldn't that be your go-to line though? Too?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how good he is. He got knocked the F out.
He got knocked the F out.
How about that?
Right. It's
I basically I deboed him.
Friday.
All right. So we have. Some
I took
more.
His bike.
We have some more Jalen Ramsey.
We're going to get more Jalen Ramsey. We're going to get more Jalen Ramsey.
Little technical problems.
But I would just play "Coming to America" Barbershop. That's basically what I would do.
Knocked out.
We got. Oh, play some Debo.
Yeah. But for our own selfish purpose, it would be
great. Would be nice.
It just adds far more entertainment.
You guys would be playing a lot of zone, and you think you'd be isolated, single coverage on Gronkowski?
I don't know what the game plan is. I'm just going to do what I'm asked to do.
You got Gronk a couple of times with that Ramsey coming out. What was that battle actually?
You feel me?
How do you feel like you handled the battle?
You tell me. It's cool.
What? What did he say?
You know what it was?
What did he say?
I am
Ojale?
Right.
You tell me.
Oh.
I'm right. He does not want to talk today. Everybody wanted to talk to him because he spoke about other players, specifically about Gronk. And today, Jalen Ramsey was, I don't want to go there. I have to, but I don't want to go there.
You really, like, if you're going to be all, you know, Deion Sanders and Bragg and boast, like, you really just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. No, what are you stopping for us?
He doesn't want it.
Richard Sherman went to Stanford. Jalen Ramsey went to Florida State.
Because I'll say this.
Sherman's smarter.
It doesn't sound to me like Doug Marrone is the type of guy that's telling plays. Hey, back off. Don't go out there and say much. Don't speak much. Man, he's talking up a storm, isn't he?
Wait, in his press conference about the Super Bowl?
No, it was more than that. I mean, but the Super Bowl was kind of bizarre, the whole thing. He's trying to be like Rex Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to be a comedian.
That's what I mean, the press conference. Both, yeah. No, the conference call, whatever. Yeah. Swearing it up.
But he's been like this all week. All week he's been kind of
this is a huge game for the city,
for them
for the city of Duval.
You know what?
I heard the mayor is going to give Jalen Ramsey the key to the city.
they're almost making it bigger than it really is.
They're
I mean,
doing
Miles Jack is saying it's the biggest game he's ever played.
Well, that's what happens when you play the Patriots, though, right?
Wasn't the playoff game the biggest?
Yeah,
game?
And I know, but it's just Houston. It's a big game for them. A lot of the guys are talking about it. They haven't been able to beat New England. Jacksonville. Okay, they lost in the AFC title game. It's a big game for them.
You buy what Teddy told us yesterday, that this is one of those that if you could start showing some type of pattern, you beat them last year, now you beat them here, then when you face them again, there's doubt.
No. And I think Teddy gave them. I was just looking at our own WEEI. And Aaron Walsh, I don't know who Aaron Walsh is yet.
Okay.
But the headline is Patriots are going to have their way with the Jaguars. That's what Teddy said yesterday.
He's listening to you.
Yeah.
What a mistake that is.
Well, there's too many tendencies that if they don't break them, it's going to be too easy for the Patriots to just at least get in the right position to make the play. Now, whether they make it or not is up to them, but at least it'll be easy for them to get lined up right. But this is bulletin board material. Like if you're looking for what it is.
I give you a shout out, Foyer.
What's he call you?
Foyer.
Shout out, Foyer.
I will see. Foyer. Teddy will not. I'll see Teddy like wherever, and he won't see me. It could be in an airport, and I do the same thing whether there's people there or not. I just go. I just yell his name a certain way, and it's almost like cuckoo, cuckoo.
How do you yell it?
Just
like that.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
And he kind of.
You do bird calls to each other?
Bird calls,
are you kidding me? How is it? I don't know where they're coming up with this. And maybe they're both going to be right on with this game because they both think it's going to be an easy game. Fourier and obviously Bruschi think it's going to be an easy game. I think this game, I'm trying to figure out how the Patriots win this game.
Well, I think it goes to the other side of the ball. I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I mean, it's still Blake Bortles.
Yes.
And to me, it does change a lot whether Leonard Fournette plays or not. You know, we've seen it, and I'm not putting him in like an Ezekiel Elliott-type category or some of these elite-type running backs, rather, that make bad quarterbacks look better because they're able to run the football and then play action and get easy passes. You're concerned about Fournette, and it opens up other things. Without the threat of Fournette, and he's not in that class, but still, he's the best guy. That's their formula. Run with him. Without him,
it's
going to be tough for them.
So when
Yeldon's just an average guy.
Well, I don't know if he's average, but you remember when Teddy was on? He basically was talking about he was talking about Blake Bortles.
Sure.
And when he said this, like I didn't catch it at first, but afterwards,
it's kind of funny.
It is. Go ahead.
The best Blake Bortles I've seen are in games where he drops back to pass, he looks at his first read, and then he takes off. When he knows he's in a game, I've seen him to where that's not there, and I'm just going to run because I'm big and I'm fast. And really, sometimes he's a better runner than he is a thrower, in my opinion. So to move the chains that way to get 10, 11 yards, I think if they prevent that, they're going to be fine.
He has the second most yards per carry running the football in the history of the league behind Michael Vick.
Based on what Teddy's saying, if he doesn't
like
have
7 yards a carry.
So basically is what he's saying
seven
is, so if his first read, so usually most quarterbacks, you know, it's not just one guy going out for a pass, right? There's like, it could be four, five guys, you know, sometimes it's two-man routes, you know, max protection, play action pass. But when he said that, so basically, all right, so if his first option isn't open, he's saying, screw it, I'm just going to run. I'm not going to try and make the play work and maybe go to my second option or maybe go to my third, maybe even check it down to the back. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
Seems easy to defend, no?
It is very easy to defend. Take away his best weapon. He's going to look there first, and then he's going to try and get out of there.
Right.
So they should have a bunch of sacks. They should have some hits. Okay, he'll sneak through and get some yards. I'm sure he will. Maybe there's even a design run in there that they run on purpose.
So he's so different from Watson. Watson is looking to get space so he can throw the football. This guy is, once he looks at that first option and says it's out, he's running the football. So there's a big difference there. All right, we get back to more Jalen Ramsey, and we'll let you hear some of this Doug Marrone stuff. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. All right, back here on OMF 617-779-7937, talking about the Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're talking so much down there in Jacksonville. I don't understand why teams don't learn this from history. History will teach you an awful lot.
What does it work? When does somebody talk smack and it actually work? The Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. All right.
Well, we got enough to back it up, and that's the point.
Yeah.
They had the bravado, and they were able to throw it around. It's not usually successful against the Patriots, and it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. Doug Marrone seems like that type of guy. I thought he did a really good job up in Buffalo, and then he got his ass out because they were screwing around with the draft, and he was able to walk away with like $4.5 million.
He became an assistant coach.
He was an offensive line coach down in Jacksonville, and they're still paying him $4.5 million. But the last few days, he's almost like trying to be Rex Ryan, one of those guys with, you know.
What do you mean?
Funny guy. He's trying to be a funny guy. This is him talking about about the Super Bowl. And obviously, if you're going to beat the Patriots, why not go back and look at the film of what the Eagles did against the Patriots in the Super Bowl? But apparently, he didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Doug, I'm curious if you watched the Super Bowl last year.
No, I haven't.
Didn't. So did you get any sense of, and I'm sure you've seen clips of it, did you get any sense of the approach?
I haven't. I have not watched the Super Bowl.
So you're unaware of the Eagles taking a really no-holds-barred approach to beating the Patriots and not hold them back at all?
Doug, you never watched the Super Bowl?
No.
Not even live?
No.
There's like over 100 million people in the country that watch the Super Bowl.
No, but, I don't want to ask me. I got a question about if I saw Coach. Wasn't it last year someone asked me about that I watched Coach Coughlin Super Bowls? And I'm like, no.
So you just,
I don't know why everyone doesn't believe that.
you never watch it live?
No, I'm usually so pissed off. I can't handle it.
Yeah. Was that even more so because of you guys got so close there last year?
No, I just always said, you know, hey, listen, I just don't watch it. I watch enough tape during the year.
So, like, what was the last Super Bowl you did watch?
Probably when I wasn't coaching and I was allowed to gamble. Probably when I was, like, 12.
Oh!
But I had a little money on it. So, you guys write that. I'll probably get f***ing investigated.
This is Rex Ryan.
He's better than Rex Ryan.
Watching the Super Bowl wouldn't like help you guys prepare for this week's game?
I think our defense and offensive coaches obviously have watched it.
Okay, so let's... isn't there a difference between watching it live on a Sunday, which I can easily understand and believe, because there's been times when I haven't watched it because I could care less about the Super Bowl if I'm not playing in it. You know, it's not a big deal, especially if you've been knocked out of the game since... You know, the regular season ended.
But is that more surprising for a coach?
Like,
last night, Tang was like, do you watch every World Series when you're playing? I'm like, no, because it's seven games. You know, it's background music. I might sit down one night and watch it. I don't know, but seven games? No. Yeah, but on a Sunday at 6:30, what the hell are you going to be doing?
Yeah, but also, what was the biggest takeaway from, if you were to compare and contrast, like, Philly in the Super Bowl against the Patriots and Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots.
Kept their foot in the pedal.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me. So, you can learn a lot from what Philly did. Maybe their personnel's a little bit differently, but you have to look at that and say, guys, there's only one way to beat this team.
Yeah, but you know what, unfortunately.
And we came close, but we completely, I read you guys every last play that they did on first down in the second half when they had the lead. Everything was a run, but two play-action passes, and then after they took the lead, it was all passes,
see,
only two of them.
We give him a lot of grief for that AFC title game. Understandably so, right? You said they got very conservative.
Yeah.
Why did we rip Dan Quinn in the Super Bowl the year before?
Why did we rip him?
Yeah.
Because he didn't run the ball and try to waste the clock.
But he had a monster lead.
But I'm just saying, so it's like, so
only 28
we give
to 3.
Philly credit.
Just, come on.
You know, but am I right? I mean, you know, you give Philly credit because they kept their foot in the pedal, and that's what Jacksonville should have done. Well, Atlanta tried to do that, and we made fun of them.
Yeah, but to me, that's a different situation.
So Jacksonville runs the ball, and we make fun of them.
But you're up 28-3, and this is a no-brainer. Okay, we are trying to speed the game up. We do not want incomplete passes. I mean, you obviously got to get first downs, but based on the lead that you had, I don't know what coach would play it any differently. Why would you sit there and keep being aggressive and put yourself in, precarious situations and to allow them to get a fumble, tip a pass, and believe that they can get into the game.
Well, they had a 10-point lead against the Patriots in the fourth quarter, the Jaguars did. I thought Lou brought up an interesting point the other day. Maybe he did it because he was fearful of putting the ball, the game, in the hands of Blake Bortles.
So well, no, because he couldn't.
Yeah.
No, that's no, exactly no, no. So, it. So, why
so,
would you?
So we blame him for that. Okay, we blame him for that. Now, I want to say this out loud. We blame Marone for not putting the game in Blake Bortles' hands.
Okay, but I would add to that. The second half was a lot different. The first half was a lot different than the second half. The second half, they were just, listen, we are going to slow it down, and our defense is going to keep us in the game. And the first half was the best half of Blake Bortles' life.
I agree.
So what happened to that guy? What happened to those plays? So I can sit there and say, you know what? You didn't have a big enough lead. You had to get at least one more touchdown. But
plus, he knows Blake Bortles.
You were willing to risk it. You were willing and give them. And the fact that they got a pretty lucky when Miles Jack took the ball away from Deion Lewis, and it should have been a fumble. The ball should have went the other way. And you sit there and credit them for completing a 3rd and 18 to keep the drive going. Let me tell you, you should never complete a 3rd and 18. It shouldn't happen. That's the one play you sit there and you back up. You go, listen, they ain't going to get this one. And, you know, we can rush one guy, and eventually he's going to force the quarterback to throw the football down the field.
See, I think he knew exactly what he was dealing with Blake Bortles, and he probably sat there and said, man, we escaped this first half. He was good. But
wrecked him, damn near killed him.
But we can't depend on this throughout the rest of the game.
So they were up 20-10 in that fourth quarter, basically. 20-10, they kicked the field goal right at the beginning of the fourth. They go up 20-10. So let's just say he stayed aggressive. And Blake Bortles threw two picks in the fourth quarter,
giving the ball to Tom Brady.
What do you think we'd be saying? Oh my God!
What the hell was he
doing? 20-10 lead in the AFC title game.
Why didn't you run the clock?
And you allowed? Didn't you watch the Super Bowl the year before? And you allowed Blake Bortles? You put the ball in his hands, and he got a strip sack fumble like Matt Ryan, and then he threw a pick, you know, to Stephon Gilmore. Ooh. And the Pats came back and won. What a moron! These people don't learn. Dan Quinn's an idiot. Marone's an idiot.
Yeah.
Jesus, run the clock.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, so to your point, so the Patriots scored and it made the score, 20-17. There's 8 minutes and 32 seconds left in the game. The first play was a run, shotgun formation, hand the ball off to the back. Second play was basically the exact same play, a run. The third play was a run again.
They weren't creative.
So I'll give you credit for, whatever, but you can't run the ball three times in a row with 8 minutes and 32 seconds left, and you're not getting positive yardage. I know you don't want to stop the clock, but that's not enough. You got to get it. That's not even 4 minute offense.
Here's the one thing I think that's fascinating about this guy, Doug Marone, because as I said, I thought he was a pretty good coach up at Buffalo. He got a lot out of the talent that he had there, and then I give him credit. He walked away when they tried to screw around and mess around in the draft with the wide receiver. Who was the
Watkins?
That's right, Sammy Watkins. So
then he realized Watkins sucked. Right. He's like, I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah, but what is he doing right now with the way that he's running this team, where his guys are talking an awful lot? He's trying to be Rex Ryan. This is Tom Coughlin as the president of that organization down there. I mean, Tom Coughlin is just the opposite of what Doug Marone seems to be running right now with that team.
They got a good little relationship going on. That's a good thing.
I don't know. This guy wants to be Rex Ryan right now?
I guess, is he more successful than Rex Ryan? I guess not, because Rex Ryan at least played in a couple
AFC championship
games. Yeah, as a head coach.
I think he's a better coach than Rex Ryan.
I do, too.
He was in charge of a defense that was really good in Buffalo, and then Rex went there and ripped it apart.
Right.
And now he's down here building this team. I mean, granted, maybe he can't find a quarterback, but he's built the team around. He's built that thing. Coughlin gets a lot of credit as well, but he's the head coach.
And we start talking about just the quarterback position and how long Brady can play. Imagine Brady, 45 years old. You're telling me he couldn't play for a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars that are very conservative, heavy defensively, really stout defensively, can keep you in games? That is exactly the reason why, if he wanted to, he could keep playing.
What's the offensive line going to look like? Tell me that.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're handing it off.
But I think the hope you have, and the hope you have, I think, in this game come Sunday, is that you're going to have a better defense than what you had a year ago.
Yes.
Because this defense right now looked a lot more aggressive in the preseason and in the first regular season game than anything we saw last year. Now, if they start putting pressure on the other team's offense, shut them down. Now it changes everything. Well, Tom Brady's got a much bigger margin for error.
This is a big game. Both offenses, you wonder, you know, how's it going to go? Now, you've got Brady, they got Bortles, so you feel better. But you're right. The defense for the Patriots, that's something you say, you know, will Bortles be able to do what he did in the first half? You know, look decent, look good. And I think you feel better about this defense, all of them, including Kyle Van Noy.
Kyle Van Noy, why wouldn't you feel good about Kyle?
Well, he is what he is.
I like Kyle Van Noy. Who doesn't like Kyle Van Noy?
Who doesn't like Kyle Van Noy?
Is there a problem with Mormons? Do somebody have a problem with him because he's a Mormon?
I didn't even know.
Is it because he's adopted?
Is he adopted?
Yeah, he was adopted. He was adopted by Mormon parents. Yes.
You know far more about Kyle Van Noy than anybody else in the world.
He's a good player. I mean, I don't know. Who is he supposed to be? Who's supposed to be?
Van Noy's improved. I hate to say it because I think the guy's been wildly overrated here the last 2 years, but he's improved.
Well, I thought he used to suck. He's elevated from suck, in my opinion, to serviceable.
Yeah, he's decent.
I think he's sort of is what he is. I think he's a serviceable player. I don't think that he's a star, but I never really understood, you know, your sort of Stowski-like infatuation with Van Noy.
And he sucked worse the year before. His degrees of suck.
To me, it's personal. I've never met him, but every time I hear him open his mouth, I'm like, you are a tool. You are an ass. Every time I hear him talk, I'm like, where did that attitude come from? You suck. And you can't. And if it wasn't for this team, you'd be covering punts in Detroit. You suck. Where do you get that attitude from?
They could have used someone covering punts the other night in Detroit.
But God,
they had trouble with that element.
For me, I just don't like the guy.
Boy, they spent far too much time on Kyle Van Noy.
I mean, I don't think we've talked about him. That's a good thing.
I don't think.
How much have you heard him talk?
I haven't. I didn't even know he was a Mormon until Christian mentioned
him. Went to BYU. Christian on a mission. He's like 50 years old right now.
Our archives here looking for a Van Noy sound. I found three cuts of where he's talked in the last couple years.
Let me hear him.
Hard as hell, and some people don't like working hard.
Sounds like a jerk.
It's just being brutally honest, and you either like it or you don't. And if you like winning, then you like it here.
You are an ass.
I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible to overrate Kyle Van Noy. I always have this feeling. We always talk about, is he overrated? And I'm like, I can't answer that until you tell me how you rate him, right?
To me, it's personal. I've never met him.
Kyle Van Noy is overrated. Let me ask you a question.
He's an okay player.
Is Eduardo Nunez overrated? How can a role player be overrated? He is what he is, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I look at with Kyle Van Noy. I don't get it. I think Paul Perillo nailed it. You know, he's okay.
He is who he is. I mean, he's fine. He's more than serviceable. He's a starter. He played in almost every single game last year. Came over.
Degrees of suck.
He's a Mormon.
He came in 2016.
How many Baptists on the team? Do you know the religion of all these
And he
guys?
Sucked worse the year before. It was degrees of sucked.
I mean, Landon Roberts, is he overrated?
Dead.
You suck.
Splat. No, you know what he is?
How do you rate him?
He's a guy that's good at stopping the running game, and you're scared to death when you see him in coverage, right?
But
you're not going to have great players at every position.
No. You are an ass.
So, I think he's perfect for – he is cast perfectly right now. Playing that edge position, stand up, defensive end.
You suck.
Can drop into coverage. I mean, I don't know. Is he Al Horford?
But are they new?
Well, it brings up a very good point.
I don't know. Is he?
Like I said, I mean, you can't tell me how you overrate or underrate a guy until you tell me how he's rated. Speaking of Al, can we please get to this?
We're getting to it.
Can
and
we
Matt
please
Shigui is get your next topic
to this? Please
to next.
Next.
You want the green teamers?
Just
to,
let's
yeah,
do this.
Get him out of hibernation.
With you. We will get into Al Horford, the best player on the Celtics, according to Sports Illustrated. We'll do it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.